The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus attacks the commercialization of religion by driving merchants out of the temple. When challenged, he responds mysteriously with the first prediction of his own death and resurrection. In the midst of a seemingly stable religious center, Jesus suggests that the center itself has changed. I begin reading at verse 13. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon. There you go. All right. Y'all see something different here going on today? What do you see? Prices everywhere. What if you walked in the church and we said, "We're selling everything today"? You think that would be a good idea? No, probably not. Do you think people would be upset? Yeah, I think so too. Probably most of these people out here would be upset if they saw price tags on everything. Well, maybe we should sell some of this. Do you think we ought to sell the handrail? No? What do we use the handrail for?
To walk down
so that they don't trip and fall. Maybe we shouldn't do that. How about this thing here? You know what this is? You know what it's called? It's called a pulpit. Should we sell it?
No.
What do we use that for?
For people to go up there.
Yeah, people go up there, and that's where we hear the Word of God. Okay, that's where we read the gospel lesson, and we hear the preaching done from up there. Let's see, what else? How about the flower stand or the flowers?
It makes it look pretty, doesn't it?
Also reminds us, the flowers remind us of new life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, let's not sell that then. All right. How about this thing here? Think we ought to sell that? People still go up there, don't they? You know what they do here? They talk and they read the scriptures. Okay. No, it's probably not a good idea either. Okay. How about this right here? Think we ought to
sell?
You can't sell the piano. What do we use the piano for?
To make the music.
Make the music. That's right. So that we can sing the songs. Maybe we shouldn't sell that then. How about Mr. Fisher here? Should we sell Mr. Fisher?
No.
No? All right. Maybe we shouldn't. We need Mr. Fisher here to help lead us in the singing and to direct the choir so that we have good music. Let's see. Who else? How about Mr. Hillbrick here? Should we sell him? No? No, we need him too here to help us worship God. Or let's see, how about Mr. Bolting here? Should we sell him?
No?
Okay, yeah, we better not sell him. He does a lot of good stuff around here to help us out in the church. Let's see, I've got one here too. How about these? Should we sell all these pews? We'd have a nice big room then, wouldn't we?
Oh, people still sit on those,
so we need those things too, don't we? All right, let's see. And how about me? You want to sell me?
No.
No? What do you need me for?
You're supposed to tell us stuff.
I'm supposed to tell you stuff. Okay. All right. So I guess I'll stay here too. How about you? Should we sell you? No, we need you here too. That's right. We need all of you here. Yeah, did y'all hear the story today from the gospel? Jesus walked into the temple and they were selling animals. They were selling doves. They were selling sheep. They were selling cattle. And Jesus, it made Jesus very upset. And so he chases them all out and says, quit making the house of God a marketplace. We don't come here to buy and sell things here in the church. We come here to worship God. And that's what our church is for. It's a holy place. It's a holy place for us to be here and worship God. Okay, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for giving us your sanctuary, your place that we can come to worship you and give praise to you and to be inspired to go out and tell others about Christ. Be with us this week as we go forth in your name. Amen. Okay, now go sit down. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson this morning, as we just heard read, it takes place in the temple where Jesus is. And I just want to give you a little bit of background about the temple there in Jerusalem. Actually, there were three different temples during the time period of the Jews. The first one was King Solomon's temple. He was the first one to build a temple there in Jerusalem. Before that, if you remember your Bible stories, the Israelites had a tabernacle, or it was a tent. It was movable, and it still had come from, or the tradition had come from the time that they had been wandering out in the wilderness. But now they had their own land, and they settled in it. They had chosen their central spot for worship, and it was Jerusalem. And that's where Solomon built that first temple. Well, after a while, invading armies came in, and they destroyed that temple completely. So, a little later on then, they built a second temple. And that's called the Zerubbabel Temple. That too then stood for a while, but invading armies came in, and that one was destroyed too. And so now, here in our gospel lesson, at this time of Jesus, is the third temple, and that's known as Herod's temple because Herod is responsible for initiating that project. As you know, the Romans were very big builders, and that's one of the building projects that happens during this time period is the building of that temple. And actually, it was still under construction at the time of Jesus. It was not completed. However, that temple, too, did not last very long. It was destroyed a short time later by the Romans. About the only thing left, I think, of that temple is the Wailing Wall. You've probably heard of the Wailing Wall over there in Jerusalem. Maybe some of you have visited it. That was one of the walls of the temple. The temple was designed the same way that the tabernacle was. There were basically three different sections of that temple. The most center section was called the Holy of Holies. In the tabernacle, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, and in the temple then too, in Solomon's temple, that's where it was. And only the high priest could enter that area. The next part was the area then where only devout religious Jews, the males only, could enter into that part of worship. And then the outer area, just about anybody could enter, including the women, and also Gentiles could also enter that area. And that's where our story takes place today, with all the animals and with the money changers and all the commotion that's going on. It happens in that outer area where the more of the general population could enter into the temple. For the religious leaders, they didn't see anything necessarily going wrong with selling all these animals. Actually, they were providing a service for the people. As you notice here in the gospel lesson, it says it was getting close to the time of the Passover. And during the Passover, there would be many pilgrims who would come in from far places throughout the country, and then also many of the Jews who live outside of the country, maybe even in Europe or Africa, they would travel to Jerusalem for a special pilgrimage during this time of the year. And as they came into Jerusalem, then they would offer sacrifice to God, as specified in the books of Moses. They needed to bring their sacrifice. However, for them to travel such long distances with animals would nearly be impossible, because the animal for sacrifice needed to be one without spot or blemish. And so the Jewish priests or leaders here were providing a service for the people. The people didn't have to bring their animals with them. They could just simply buy one there that would be acceptable for sacrifice at the temple. However, that's not the only thing that was going on. People would come in and they would buy the animals, and a few of these animals would be sacrificed. But most of the animals then would just be turned around and sold again. And so there would be quite a bit of profit made off of these animals. Also, too, these animals were sold at a premium price. I mean, they were supposed to be without spot or blemish, and they were supposed to be acceptable for sacrifice to God. And so they were quite expensive for the pilgrims who were coming into town. And what was going on with the money changers, also too, everyone was required to pay a temple tax. And so people were coming up to the temple to pay their temple tax. However, the common coin in that day and time, or just about all coins in that day and time, had the picture of Caesar on it. They were Roman coins, after all, and they had the picture of Caesar on there. And that was considered a graven image, which would have been an outrage to pay your temple tax with a graven image. And so you had to exchange your money for a temple coin in order to pay your tax. And you can imagine there too that the exchange rates were not in the favor of the people. And sometimes I guess the priest would line their pocket, or the prophets then too would go to help pay for the things around the temple. But for Jesus to come in and see, to come in to worship or to discuss theology or to teach, this was an outrage. To come into the temple and see all of this commotion going on and seeing all of this corruption that was also going on. And he chases them all out. And I think Jesus does all this. He's such outrage because he wants to protect the temple. He wants to protect the people. And he also wants to protect the faith. And I want to talk about these this morning. First of all, let's talk about protecting the temple. The temple was the center of faith for the Jewish people. Jerusalem was the holy city. It was the central part. Everybody looked to Jerusalem for that. That's basically where God resided, people thought in their minds. In that temple, in that Holy of Holies, like I said, in that Holy of Holies was originally meant for the Ark of the Covenant. In the tabernacle, that's where Moses would go to talk to God, to get direction from God as Moses was leading the people out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. It was the Holy of Holies. That was the place where God resided. That was the place where God talked to people. And so this temple was very central to their religion. And to see a mockery made out of this holy place was an outrage for Jesus. And we think about that too, of our place of worship. As I had in the children's sermon, if we came in and we were having nothing but a big garage sale on Sunday mornings and trying to make money, it would be an outrage for most of us coming here on Sunday mornings. To see things for sale, to see the commotion, maybe bidding going on, maybe haggling over prices, maybe arguments breaking out, would be an outrage for us. Because for us too, this space that we are in this morning is a holy place. It is set apart for a place to come and give worship to God. And it feels like a holy place. I mean, it's amazing to me of how your ancestors were able to build this thing in the middle of the Depression with the beauty of the architecture, the stained glass, and the appointments of everything around here. And it was meant to inspire us. The things that we see in here was meant to inspire us, to remind us of the beauty of God, to remind us of the might of God and the power of God, and to lift us up so that we are increased in faith and so that we can go out into this world and live our faith and proclaim that good news of Jesus Christ. But as we look at the building and the space that we are here in, we do not worship this space. Rather, we recognize it as a holy place, as a place set aside for God, for the use of God. But at the same time, it is only a building. This really is not the church. It is only a building. It is a tool. It is a special tool, but it is still only a tool for helping us in our path of faith, to lead us to Jesus Christ and to bring that good news to other folks. Also, Jesus was trying to protect the people. When Jesus was questioned by the Jewish leaders of why in the world are you doing such an outrageous thing of chasing out all of our animals and upturning the tables, we had a good thing going here. What in the world gave you the idea? What criteria do you have to do such a thing? And Jesus answered kind of in a strange way, or at least they didn't understand it at the time. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days it will be raised up again." They did not understand that. We understand that as Christians who have lived past that time. We understand that Jesus was talking about the temple of his body, that he was talking about his own death and his resurrection, that it will be raised up. Our bodies, too, are temples. And it is, I think, a matter of stewardship of how we take care of our bodies, of what we eat and the health, how we take care of our bodies and different things, because we do need healthy bodies to go and serve God, to give praise to God, to go and do the things that we need to do that God calls us to do. But even more important than looking at our physical bodies, our bodies are temples, or ourselves are temples, that not that we worship ourselves, but that they are there so that we can give praise and worship to God. And to help keep our temples pure and clean, God has left us some directions. He's given us some guidelines. He's given us his laws, the Ten Commandments, to help us to keep our temples pure for God. When Jesus was asked at one point of what is, they were trying to trick him once again. The leaders asked him, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus answered what's known as the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then Jesus also added, and the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And as we look at these laws of God, these guidelines, these ways of living, these Ten Commandments, you can see they say exactly the same thing. The first three commandments are how we are to love the Lord our God. And the last seven are how we are to love our neighbor, how we are to treat our neighbor and get along with our neighbor. We are to treat our bodies as temples, not only the physical part, but the mental, the emotional, the spiritual part. And Jesus was there at the temple then also to protect the people. But Jesus was also there mainly to protect the faith of the people, of the Jewish faith, or the faith in God. The religious leaders had lost sight of what was most important, that worship of God. What they had directed all their energy to were the laws, and then also then in their own hierarchy of what was going on. They had lost the focus of God, that they were really there actually to give praise and thanks to God for their life and to follow the things that God wants them to do. They had completely lost that, and Jesus tries to bring that focus back by chasing out all of the distractions that were going on. In our lives too, then, Jesus tries to protect us in our holy faith. And he calls us the whole body of Christ. We say in our creed on Sunday mornings, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, and that Catholic Church is in a small c, which means the Catholic universal. It means the church universal. It means all Christians everywhere. And not only today, not only present here within our congregation or our Christians that are living today, but all Christians of the past and all Christians who are still yet to come. We are the body of Christ, and we're here to gather, to worship, to give thanks and praise to God, and then also to be inspired to go out and make disciples of all nations. Now you think about that, and it's always amazing to me on Sunday mornings that there, at the same time that we are in worship, there are thousands of other people in worship across the world. Or during that whole weekend, there are millions of Christians today in worship, or will be today, a little bit later today in worship. And that's always amazing, and that's an uplifting thought that so many people are giving thanks and praise to God. But at the same time, we talk about millions in worship. We think about billions as far as the world population. There is still room for more. We still have room for more Christians within our worship services. And that's what, I think that's what this whole thing is talking about, is that Jesus was protecting that temple, he was protecting that faith, he was protecting the people, because he has a new message for us. And that message is that God's love is so great that he has sent his Son into this world to die for us and to be raised up once again. And that all people are invited to take part in those, in that belief and in that death and that resurrection. Christ calls us his own temples. He calls us to be the body of Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.